Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Now we're talking. Now you got me going. Detroit. Oh, look, Jake's playing the drums and everything. It's fantastic. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'd like to listen to Jack White and rock out. It's Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. Thanks to Jamie Bluma for spending an hour with us. The next hour we'll spend now with former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerigter. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
How's them Twitter fingers doing?
They're fine.
On fire. Mark Boerigter versus the world.
I don't know if it's versus the world.
I don't know. It feels like it.
So, does it? Because it doesn't to me. It really doesn't.
I'm trying to paint it in that way.
You can paint it however you want. Everybody else seemed to paint it however they wanted to over the weekend, so that's
fine. People very angry at you. And I don't know why I get dragged into this. I'm getting people tweeting at me.
You and Dieter were, you caught some strays on it.
Garrett,
sure.
Dieter and me all brought into this thing.
Caught some shrapnel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Collateral damage.
Which is fine. But, so if you want to go through the timeline here, I expressed my desire and excitement for the Chiefs to sign Hollywood Brown, and I was trying to talk it into existence. And then,
nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Yeah. And then I did see your original tweet about Hollywood Brown. And I said, oh, no.
The day before.
Maybe,
by the way.
Yeah.
Timeline-wise,
yeah,
it was important.
This is before he signed. And I said, okay, so Mark won't be a fan of this. And then it kind of got, I don't know, passed around and regurgitated on Twitter. And this was the original tweet. I know Chiefs fans don't want to hear this, but Hollywood is McColl for about $8 million more per year. 247 comments under that tweet. 135 retweets.
Oh, boy.
1,000 likes. And so people went in.
Yeah.
And you fended them off. And so I don't know what you want to do here. If you want to defend that stance, if you want to walk it back, if you want to double down. Now that the Chiefs have signed him, do you truly believe he is just McCole Hardman?
I think context is important, right, on this. And this isn't walking it back. This isn't any of these things. Let me just explain my thoughts. Again, number one, this was put out the day before there was any announcement on a signing, okay, on things. With the way that the free agent contracts were going, four wide receivers, and we talked about this last week and here on Tuesday, the Gabe Davis is the world, right? The 3 years, you know, $30 million type deals, the former MVS type of deal here on things, was where I was going with this, okay? That if he were to sign a three-year deal like that worth $35 million here, I don't think it's worth the money. On that side of things. I'll be honest with you. After this stuff went crazy on Friday, I hit the mute button and I didn't feel it was even necessary to try to defend it because I knew I was coming in here on Tuesday and we were going to talk about it type of thing. I think what's interesting to me about it is that it's the world we live in nowadays that, you know, I don't want to call it a tax or anything like that, but it's hard to have actual discussions with people on things and where I'm coming from on that side of things. I'm coming from it looking at, okay, and I've said this last week, I want to throw numbers at the wide receiver position. I think everybody knows that we want to improve it. When the contract came out, which we still don't have the actual final numbers yet, even though he signed it yesterday.
Supposedly 1 year, $7 million.
Yes. Yes. Contract is 11.7.
Yes. But we still don't have the actual numbers, is what I'm going with this. But 1 year at $7 million is much more reasonable to me than a 3 year, you know, $10 million a year type
I was throwing out numbers to you guys, right?
Yeah.
Off Spotrac, these were market value numbers projected. I think the number I threw out to you guys was 3 years, $55 million.
Yeah.
That would be 18 plus per year.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's where I was looking at this going, okay, if you compare Mecole Hardman to him, this is where the comparison comes in, okay? And Mecole Hardman last year signed as a free agent with the Jets. Obviously, the Chiefs traded back for him. At about $5 million per year, okay? I was going on what I would do this year with Mecole Hardman if you wanted him back, is to sign him on like a one-year, $3.5, $4 million deal with some incentives, okay? So a base value of like $3 million bucks, and then $8 million a year or more on that side of things, you know, is 11, 12, and maybe it's a little bit more of where we're going with this on the numbers we talked about last week. And I just don't think there's – where I'm going with this is that I don't think there's that much of a difference between those two guys as a player that's $8 million more or better than the other guy. And that's my opinion on it. And the funny part to me about this is I'm not going to start arguing with people who, number one, are – And this is nothing against Chiefs fans when I say this, right? But they don't know what they're talking about when they're evaluating players and looking at the entire picture of things. We want to build this fantasy football roster because we all like the names and we like the ideas of the production and all these different things. I am 100% in agreement they need to upgrade the wide receiver position.
Don't you think he's an upgrade?
I think, yes, absolutely. I absolutely do. And this is not that I don't want Hollywood Brown, which is what's crazy to me is that the aggregators and other, quote, wannabe folks out there on stuff took the time to take this and make it and spin it in a way that actually wasn't the case on stuff. Because I don't hate the signing.
He's better than Mecole, just not $8 million
correct.
Better.
That's exactly it. If I'm building the roster, okay, and I'm looking at this and going, we have other needs as an organization. If I'm looking at that now, obviously, and Brett Veach I trust, and Andy Reid I trust, okay, on things. But and this ended up shaking out a little bit more, like I kind of thought it would with Hollywood Brown as an example, because to me he's not worth $13, $14, $15 million.
Hollywood Brown,
he's not.
But see, I think people took the tweet as they're the same player.
Yeah, no, and I understand. I get that. That's why I say I think context is important on it.
And you're not saying they're the same player.
No,
because
to be honest with you, like once it went the way it did this week, right. I was like, I'm not trying. I'm not. This isn't good.
In the exact same camp that you were.
Border Patrol like, appearance.
We should not go pay this guy $15.
Oh, right. Yeah, when I wanted him, you resisted.
Yeah,
Nats rolled his eyes and gave you the finger.
I was trying to compare, like, if you could have
him off.
If you could have Mecole Hardman on this roster,
I wanted him all along.
At even $5 million, it's the same to me as having Hollywood Brown, you know, at $8 million
or
more.
So Hollywood Brown had 1,000 yards of Lamar Jackson throwing the football.
Yeah, in 2021.
And then he goes to Arizona, and a wide variety of quarterbacks, some of which sell cars now. Nothing against that, but, can you really judge him and his production based on who was throwing him the football in Arizona?
Look, here's where this gets convoluted a little bit, too. I don't know if I've said this publicly. I'm a big advocate and have an understanding when looking at evaluating players on the situations that they're in, okay, or have been in. Because I think the situation you're in, get drafted into more so probably to start with can have a big bearing on your success, right? I don't necessarily feel that way as much on a free agent type of deal because you're choosing the money. Let's be real. It's money over winning. when you're in free agency. Especially if you're at a higher level of free agency.
Well, he got traded to Arizona.
Yes, I know he got traded there. So even in that case, right, I'm a big proponent of, like, situations and the personnel around you and everything can matter, okay, on stuff. But at the same time, then, there starts to become a track record, though, of you are what you are. And this is not a knock on him as a receiver, okay? It's not a knock on him as a player. He had a 1,000-yard receiving year in Baltimore, okay? I think we all agree that's a good year in Baltimore with that the style of offense they run.
Sure.
What happened after that? They traded him away, okay? My question goes into that then. Well, why did, if he was so good as a 1,000-yard receiver for you, why'd you trade him on things?
I don't think he's a perfect wide receiver by any stretch of the imagination. I think that his yards per reception really stands out to me because for a deep threat guy, you would think he would average more than 11 yards per catch. So I think those are fine questions and fair questions too. But I would say this, that I'll be interested to see how reliable he is. We can't let a touchdown catch in the Super Bowl make us forget how unreliable Mecole Hardman was as a player. He has nine fumbles in his career in the regular season and four more in the postseason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody in this town wanted him to never touch the ball again this postseason. He doesn't know how to run routes. I mean, I like Mecole Hardman, the dude, and I'm glad that they brought him back. We've had these conversations forever.
Again, there's a role for all these. And this is the same thing with the Hollywood. I do think it upgrades their receiving core.
He's also almost averaged 6 touchdowns a year in his career. 28 touchdowns.
Yeah, well,
you know,
Hardman. Well, I'll just say this, Stephen. Okay, I could care less about how many touchdowns you get a year, and apparently everybody else does too. Because I had a 1 year wonder and 8 touchdowns, right? And I'll be the first.
Nobody cares.
And you guys know I'm the first person that'll tell you. Like, I lined up opposite of Tony Gonzalez my first year a lot, right? Like, that's part of that's the situation you're in and all that kind of stuff. Where I go with this is that I think it's an upgrade, number one, to it. I'm okay with it being on a $7 million a year type of deal, on a one-year deal. I'm all right with that. I didn't want to see him pay $15 million a year for him.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's the context of this. And maybe my comparison might have been a little wrong. Or maybe, I don't want to say wrong, but maybe it was not the right choice of comparison side of things. But when you're looking to upgrade your roster, which I think this is an upgrade to it, absolutely. But it's not a sure thing, right? And that's where I go with this is that there's a lot of folks out there that think that because his name is Hollywood Brown and he was a first-round pick and all these different things, that this is going to be, you know, this is the differentiating factor that's going to be the Chiefs. They got a lot more work to do on this side of things. And, you know, I know Dieter said the same thing or similar things last week around this, and I know he commented on this a little bit, like, hey, he could be the good number two wide receiver for this team. Right? Absolutely. I think he's the third option, okay? I know everybody talks about Travis Kelce's age and everything else, but he's still option number one in the passing game. And Rashee Rice is two. So your number three then is Hollywood Brown.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, and I'm all right with that. But he's not going to be my number three option in this offense for $14, $15 million a year. That's my point.
Let's go back and put the trade into context since you were asking about that. This was the article that was written at NFL.com. At the time of the trade, Baltimore traded receiver Marquise Brown and a third round pick to Arizona for the 23rd overall pick. Baltimore spent the 25th overall pick in the 2019 draft on Brown, the Oklahoma star, who was expected to have the Ravens help the Ravens take the top off opposing defenses and allow their offense to thrive. The Ravens received quality production from Brown, who caught 195 passes for 2,361 yards and 21 touchdowns in 3 seasons with the team, but couldn't quite unleash Brown as they'd envisioned as Baltimore became a run-first offense with offensive coordinator Greg Roman scheming up a dangerous ground attack with Lamar Jackson as its engine. Ravens GM Eric DaCosta said the trading of Brown was a complicated topic, and the 24-year-old requested to be traded at season's end per Jamison Hensley of ESPN.com. DaCosta said, "It's something I anguished for a long time." It didn't take Lamar Jackson long to seemingly voice his displeasure with the trade Thursday. As soon as the trade was announced, Lamar Jackson tweeted WTF. What the? DeCosta, however, told reporters that Jackson was aware of the pending trade before it was finalized, so on and so on. And so seems like partially they were unable to unlock. Was this a weapon that they weren't going to use as much under Greg Roman? And so they decided it wasn't a fit, so they decided to trade him while his value was
peaked. I mean, that's also a possibility.
And, I mean, and they got good return for him. And then he goes to Arizona, and Arizona was a train wreck. So, I mean,
to go back to this, yes, they were, absolutely. And to go back to the situation thing, right? Like, here's a little bit other context for this for me. And I'm on the record of saying this, that I think the Chiefs need to throw numbers, obviously, at the wide receiver position. I think they need to draft a couple guys in there. They don't have a ton of draft capital. They have other needs as well. But I think they need to go get a couple of receivers. The other thing with this is you can overpay a little bit for a guy like Hollywood Brown because you have your number one wide receiver on a rookie contract. Okay? That's another factor that comes into this from that side of things. But just because, and this is where I go with this, like, I think this is an upgrade, right? I think I'm happy with the decision. This isn't me, you know, it's not me walking back my comments or anything else. Again, it's about what I think he's worth on the monetary side of things. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes this last year proved that he doesn't have to have the most talented guys in certain areas, right, to win football games. And a big portion of that was the defense this year, obviously, and complementary football. You know, if you start comparing guys in situations, and I know MBS wasn't near as productive before he came here than what Hollywood Brown is right now coming in. But, you know, MBS didn't obviously have a very good year last year on things. They still won the Super Bowl, you know. And that's where I go with putting the numbers at it and getting younger and cheaper there. That's why, again, I'm okay with a one-year, $7 million deal with them. I just didn't want to see them get into a longer-term, three-year type deal with them for a guy that's now on his third destination. That's where I go with it.
Yeah, I think that's all very reasonable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because you send that tweet out before they sign him.
Yeah, before.
If the team doesn't sign him and some other team does, everybody's agreeing with you.
Probably.
Yeah, we didn't want him. But since they signed him, now you're public enemy number one. But
it's fine. I don't really care.
But you said in Veach we trust, how many terrible contracts has he gotten the team saddled with?
Well, and this also piggybacks off of what I was just saying. You're exactly right, okay? Because very few.
Juju Smith-Schuster gets a one-year deal.
Exactly.
He doesn't go break the bank.
Exactly.
Right?
Very similar to Hollywood Brown in a sense, right? The MBS situation, you might look at and go, okay, was that a bad contract? No, it wasn't. It really wasn't. You know, at the end of the day,
he had huge performances in the postseason.
Yeah, and I think part of it a little bit is obviously the destination was Super Bowl wins the last 2 years, right? So we look at it and say, okay, that was worth it. That contract was worth it.
Yeah, like the biggest one I've
like
heard people knocking for.
Like the Frank Clark contract,
was, yeah.
As an example.
Yeah.
You would think, I think
Sammy
now people,
Watkins,
what,
maybe.
Yeah, but what they did in the postseason in the biggest games makes the contract all worth it.
Hitchens,
you know?
Frank Clark. Many people have complained about Juwan Taylor's contract. There's a few.
Which his stuff just vested for another year, guaranteed, by the way, after this. Not 24, but 25 yesterday.
But, I mean, winning covers the stink of any bad contract.
But where he's
but it
been,
doesn't, just because you win doesn't mean every contract was a good decision.
No, right. No, but where they make their money, and this is where I was to piggyback off of this, where the Chiefs and Brett Veach have done really well are the signings of guys like a Drew Tranquil, and maybe Hollywood Brown will be this way at $7 million a year, right? The Mike Edwards of the world. The Mike Pinnells, bringing Mike Pinnell back again. You know, those types of signings and those little free agent plug-and-play pieces are where GMs really earn their keep in roster building. It's not about the big-name free agent guy. Because the vast majority of those, 75% of those, probably more than that, 80% of those big free agent deals are always disappointing.
Right.
They're always. For any organization.
Yeah, you're going to overpay.
Because you're overpaid. And that's where I go with it, is like, I just don't want to see them overpay. And that's why, like, 1 year at $7 million for Hollywood Brown, I'm all right with that.
And then if he hits all those incentives.
Yeah, then great.
Then he's performing to the level, so you're not overpaying because you got the production out of him.
Exactly.
And you're not committed long term.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like, yeah, you look at the times they've done it, and it's been okay. Frank Clark, they needed somebody. Right, they felt like they needed somebody to change the entire look and feel of that defense.
And it's not just the contract; it's the trade and the contract.
Yeah, so maybe they overpaid. Not maybe, they definitely overpaid. But did the defense not completely change when Frank Clark and Honey Badger got there
in the postseason?
Yeah,
in the postseason.
Yeah, right.
But,
I mean, but
you're right. I know what you're. I know
they
what
got
you're
they
did.
Got a lot better than they were under Bob Sutton.
Yeah, no, they did.
And so I don't know. It just doesn't seem. I mean, we're all on the same page here, I think, is that the contract's a good deal. And then they can still go try to draft a wide receiver.
Absolutely.
You know, and because that's where you really, if you can draft and develop your own players, then you don't have to go overpay in free agents.
Here's the other thing. You also can go get another free agent wide receiver right now.
Yeah.
At $4 million a year or $5 million a year. Or at $2 million, a couple guys, a couple vets.
And if they trade L'Jarius Sneed, they'll have more money to play with to do things if they want to.
Yeah, I think he'll end up, I mean, based on his skill set, that's exactly what the Chiefs needed. But it's not the end of the story.
No.
That they need to draft. I would like to see them add one more veteran and then draft someone else because you have to account for injury. And also, I mean, let's be honest, they need to remake the whole wide receiver room. It's not just one guy they need to replace.
Yeah, because there's two other guys on this roster right now that I think most of these other fans that disagreed with me would think that shouldn't be on this roster, and that's Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney.
Right.
But the reality with those two guys is, you know, Sky Moore is going to be entering his third year, still under contract.
I'd give him a shot before Kadarius
Toney. Yeah, but Kadarius Toney, here's the unique aspect of Kadarius Toney right now is that he costs the exact same amount right now cap-wise than if you were to cut him. His dead cap is the exact same as it is if he's on the roster. So I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon is my point. Because I think they love reclamation projects. And I think this is a, you know, there's still, quote, talent there on things. And you guys know, nobody defended this receiving core more than I did all year on a lot of stuff, right? I came out here a lot of times.
It's not just what he does or doesn't do on the field.
What's
it's him on social media.
There's other factors involved there. I'm just going football only, right, on that side of things.
You know, you got these other – I wouldn't – the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
No, it's probably not.
I wouldn't want to deal with
it. I'm just telling you, when you look at – it costs the exact same amount to cut him than it is to keep him. He's going to be on this roster most of the offseason, I think, and in the training camp.
We've got Mark Boerichter in studio back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. There are still people not very happy with you, Mark Boerichter.
I don't care.
That's their business, right?
Yeah, it's their problem.
That's their business.
Thanks for listening.
It's not my business what people think of me.
Honestly, I think it's to be honest, I think it's Jake's problem.
Not my chair, not my problem.
That's what I say.
Okay.
Is it Jake? Is it Jake?
Are you tweeting from a
burner?
Okay.
I got a couple of them.
I have been.
Why would you not?
Fascinated with this L'Jarius Sneed situation. You have. So, I don't know.
It's interesting.
Did you follow the ballad of Pretty Ricky? Pretty Ricky, the burner
account?
Not
really, but I heard a little bit of it.
Let me tell you, and I'm here to tell you, he was getting stories and breaking stories left and right accurately, including saying Hollywood Brown was going to sign with the Chiefs 2 days before he did, and he was not—he was hitting them left and right, and then his account got deactivated, and then he comes back, and got a couple of more right. Then people started to speculate. Well, this guy's got to work in an NFL office. This guy's got to work for a team. Maybe he's an agent. Maybe he's whatever. He had too many things right. Then his Twitter account is now gone. Okay, but he was like. He broke like 8 or 9 signings and stories, including before everyone else, when everyone was saying Ridley's either going to the Patriots or he's going back to the Jags. Like 3 hours before it happened, he goes, oh, I'm hearing there's a $90 million offer
division
from
rival.
A division rival. Like way too specific. And they're the dark horse now to get Ridley. And then 3 hours later, Titans signed Ridley to $90 million. You're like, wait a minute. Is this guy Ridley's agent or something? And so that's been like the latest speculation. But anyway, he was saying that Snead to the Colts was done, but then there was a snag with Snead's contract negotiation with the Colts. There was another Colt. We went over the names yesterday. Another Colts reporter saying the same thing. And then Stephen Holder, the ESPN reporter of the Colts. They weren't close. Nothing, but then he kind of walked that back and said, well, early last week there was discussions about Snead, but they didn't go anywhere. So now you have these Colts reporters in a pissing match whether or not Snead to the Colts was happening or at least discussed. Now we get the national people are disagreeing about this. First play, Adam Schefter on with Pat McAfee. And so let's listen. Well, we might have to cut it off at some point because it's lengthy, but let's listen to Adam Schefter. He at some point talks about L'Jarius Snead in this situation.
The Colts are signing Snead. You know, he's on a franchise tag with the Kansas City Chiefs. There was a blogger named Destin Adams who covers the Indianapolis Colts this weekend who said, I have it on good authority that Snead is going to be an Indianapolis Colt, that they're in the lead potentially in trying to get him. Diana Russini, I believe, obviously formerly of your insider team over there at ESPN, now at The Athletic, she's saying that she's hearing the same thing. I'm pretty zeked up. I'm Snead up, if that's the case, if we're doing it. Is that happening here in Indy? And how does this feels like a lot more franchise tag negotiations with other teams taking place as opposed to other years?
I will read to you the comments that I sent to my news desk on Sunday morning when they asked me that very same question about whether Snead was headed in there. I'm looking for the exact comments. Basically, here we go.
Quoting Adam Schefter.
Yeah, well, I don't want to read the exact comments because they're actually rather defensive. Let's just say this.
What?
They haven't had any conversation.
Hold on. Hold the phone. Just we'll get back to that. What are the actual comments? You got F-bombs in there?
Yeah,
is Schefter just dropping F-bombs in the middle of these texts to the news desk?
I'll say the exact thing was the two sides, quote unquote, haven't had any conversations.
Destin.
Colts and Chiefs.
Oh, boy.
Destin.
It's complete horseshit.
Is that real? So that was yesterday.
100%. Not happening. Now, could that change? Could that change? Sure. No, that's not happening, Pat. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you're it doesn't sound like you're sorry.
Man.
Okay.
I want to break this guy's heart.
So he says no conversations, nothing, right? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
No conversations, nothing. So all these different people that are reporting this are wrong. Schefter's the only one that said, even that Stephen Holder, who covers the team for ESPN, said there were some talks early last week. But then Schefter says nothing's happening, no conversations at all. Let's hear Diana Russini, formerly of ESPN, now with The Athletic, a really good NFL insider who has a lot of good information, being interviewed with our guy. Right?
Robert Mays,
who comes on the show all the time from The Athletic.
He's great.
And I like Diana Russini a lot. Jake, text it out. We're going after Diana Russini. I'd like to have her on the show. Can I add that to the wish list?
Yeah.
May I wish for her to come on the show? I wish upon a star for Diana Russini to be on the show, courtesy of Jake Gutierrez. Let's hear Diana Russini on The Athletic Football Show with Robert Mays talking about, am I bothering you over there? You yawned right in my face, and that hurt my feelings.
I covered my mouth with my hand.
A very interesting story about L'Jarius Snead.
I covered my mouth with my hand.
He's like this. This isn't soccer. Let's hear what Diana Russini says about L'Jarius Snead.
L'Jarius Snead situation with Kansas City, and how do you ultimately see this playing out?
Well, I had my tweet up ready to go because I really thought it was going to get done last week. The Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts were really close on getting deals done. This was before the Calvin Ridley move was made by Tennessee. I don't think all trade talks are dead involving Snead now with Kansas City. Do I believe that it's going to be Tennessee? I think the chances are obviously smaller now. being able to pay Snead on a new contract because he does want a new deal, obviously. And that appears to be the holdup of trying to iron that out. So the conversations are going to continue, and I do think if there's going to be more movement, we're going to see it a little bit closer to the draft.
Someone's lying. Mark Boruto. I've just given you a lot of information.
This is that time of year where agents and team executives change their names to or withhold their names to league sources, right?
But it seems like there's so many people saying that there have been discussions for Schefter saying they haven't even talked.
Yeah. I always take all these with a grain of salt. I really do, because, you know, you hear a lot of different things, and then you know, some of it becomes true, some of it doesn't. It's a unique situation. I think when you're talking about Legarius Sneed, he's the only guy that's tagged right now. How many guys are left on the franchise tag right now? Because, like, Michael Pittman Jr., right, obviously re-signed.
Yeah, he signed $370 million.
He's the only one out there, really, I guess, off the top of my head that I'm thinking of, that's really in kind of a franchise tag and trade position, right, that we've heard that has permission to go out and seek other opportunities.
T. Higgins.
Okay.
There have been rumors that they could trade him.
Yeah.
So T. Higgins.
And maybe Legarius Sneed has just dominated this a little bit more because we're here in Kansas City on that side. But I haven't heard a ton of other guys that were tagged that, like, hey, he's got permission to go seek a trade.
Brian Burns was traded.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because
he's kind of the one, I guess where I'm going with this, he's the one remaining guy, right, on that's had permission that we know of to go out. I don't think it's a trade compensation thing with him. I think it's and the Chiefs, I think it's what does he and his agent want out there in a new deal.
So the speculation
is. It's the financials
is,
that are.
Right. The speculation is from the people that are saying the snag was the contract negotiations, is that he wants to be paid as the top cornerback in football, which is $22+ million a year. Nate, you love him. We all love him.
Yeah.
Do you love him that much to give him 4 years at over $22 million a year to make him the highest paid corner in football?
No.
I'm going to tell you no.
No.
Nope. Because well, just that I'm going to tell you no, because I don't love him.
No, I didn't have to think about it. No,
but also, and I'm telling you, and I'm not saying the Chiefs are, maybe the Chiefs are, but the knee is an issue. Not that whether he's a good player or not, for the people that are being asked to spend $80 million, that type of investment.
Well,
it just is.
You know, I've been the one championing that I think he's worth more than what people have been reporting in terms of the trade market. The more I think about it, though, I do understand the concept of age. And, you know, I'm the one that always, most of the time, says I don't want to sign guys over 30. I do think that I've maybe undersold how important youth is at corner.
Yes.
Because that is that you lose a half a step. And all of a sudden, you're getting torched by NFL wide receivers.
All of a sudden, you're Richard Sherman in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs.
100%. Right? That's a great example. That's a great example. Because obviously, the Anthony Sherman, the Richard Sherman.
Oh, you bring
in his head. He's in his head.
He's in his head.
Sherman's in your mind. He's been dragging him through the mud.
Rent free.
Sherman's in your dome right now.
That's supposed to be your boy.
So in Nate's dome right now.
Oh, man. Richard Sherman.
Mark.
I didn't even say anything about him. I just said his name.
You're giving examples of old, washed-up players. Anthony Sherman.
He's retired.
But he ain't washed up. Can I say this show's been fun today?
Oh, my God.
I'm having a blast.
Yeah, Richard Sherman said, but yeah, like, I think that I maybe undersold that where you probably get older faster at corner.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you start to slow down just a little bit, that's why you see, you know, tackles, they don't have to run as fast. So they stay relevant for longer.
And he does not avoid contact.
Right. He plays, yeah, he plays a physical brand of corner.
I think when...
So I don't want to give him a four-year deal. Bring him back on a one-year, franchise
absolutely.
Tag, all about it.
The Chiefs are in a beautiful position here on that side of things because it's not just $22 million this year, right? It's $22 million per year, meaning he's going to want a guarantee of at least $60 million.
I mean, the odds are the Chiefs already got their best years out of him, and he got paid almost nothing for it.
Yeah.
And that sucks for him.
And that's the business. And that's the business. And that's where you
have with running backs.
And this is also probably why the Chiefs decided, like, we got to move him because they know what he wants. Like, look, I'm sure they're fine bringing him back.
You wouldn't tag him if you were fine bringing him back on $70
million. You don't tag him unless you're willing to use it.
And that's good. They're probably not fine. $22 million a year for 3 or 4 years.
No, and if I'm L'Jarius Sneed, I'm still looking for that deal, okay, out there right now on that piece. You got to have a number, okay, what do I feel comfortable with, which I'm sure he's had those discussions with his representation.
If you're the
coach
of the Titans, would you and you feel like you need a player like this to transform your defense, to take the next step, would you do that?
I would not, but that's also me watching L'Jarius Sneed here over the last couple of years. And when I say that is... I want him here on a 17-year deal. Absolutely, I'm not opposed to that. But I would not give a corner of his age type of money right now. Now, I'm not in the Colts or one of those other teams' positions, but I'd look at it and go, he could be the missing piece for us over the next couple of years.
Is he for the Colts? Or does anybody think the Colts are that close to the Super Bowl?
And also,
if Anthony Richardson's a absolute stud. We didn't see enough of him.
Yeah.
If he's a stud.
Yeah, you got a quarterback on a rookie deal. You
know, Anthony Sherman is a stud.
They were one game away from the playoffs last year.
Yeah. I don't.
Well, that depends on how good you think the quarterback is, right?
My whole thing with it is this, is that if I'm L'Jarius Sneed, right, obviously I'm going out and look. I've got permission to go seek a trade.
And I think Anthony Richards is good.
Go look for what I can get, right? He's got to have a minimum number of what he feels comfortable with. Otherwise, he's also in a great position.
Worst case scenario,
because
I'll
tell you this: within a couple weeks, this is going to be, I think, figured out. Because I don't think the Chiefs are looking at a long term deal with him, right?
Right.
On this piece, you wouldn't be saying, "Hey, we're open to a trade" from the beginning of this piece of tagging him. You're fine with having him come back here at $17 million, and in a week or two. If I don't have what I want on the open market, and it's not an open market, but if I don't have out there on the permission side of things a deal that I want long term, I'm coming back and signing that $17 million a year franchise tag right now, okay? It's guaranteed for the year no matter what happens. They can't rescind it at that point, which the Chiefs aren't going to do anyway, but they have the ability to if they wanted to. And play this year out and bet on myself again and go out and have another great year because I don't think the Chiefs are going to tag him in the second year.
Right. And to your point, with the Colts and Titans, it's do you think Anthony Richardson's the real deal? Do you think Will Levis is the real deal? I don't – only they know. But if they believe that, then – but to your point, to me, that's why I thought the perfect landing spot was Detroit.
Yeah.
Because I do think Detroit, with a straight face, could sit there and say, if we add L'Jarius Sneed, we can win the NFC next year. Or if we had L'Jarius Sneed, we would have won it last year.
Yep.
That's the type of team that's a L'Jarius Sneed away. If the compensation report is correct and it's a third and a pick next year, would you take that if you're the Chiefs?
We talked about this before. I said a low second-round pick. If it's a third-round pick this year.
And a pick next year.
I think next year's pick becomes a conditional pick.
Has to be what?
It has to be.
For you to do
it. I think it's got to be a fifth-year pick, a fifth round next year or a fourth round that's conditional to move up to maybe a third.
Jake will do it for a third and a fourth.
Yeah, it would.
Third and a fifth.
Yep.
Third and a sixth.
No.
Gotcha. Back after this on WHB. All right, if you want a piece of Mark Boerichter, I'm going to tell you how you can get it. Not just a piece, the whole thing. How about this? It's the Sports Radio 810 March Madness Bracket Contest. Mark Boerichter has agreed to enter into the contest and put his name on it, and you can match wits with Mark Boerichter when it comes to filling out a March Madness bracket. All you have to do is go to 810WHB.com. That's 810WHB.com. And hit the 810 Bracket Challenge button to enter. I'll be in it. Jake will be in it. Nate will be in it. Mark Boerichter will be in it. And tell us about our great sponsors. Get Lebo right now. Tell him to get in. I know he's here. Don't play with me. Don't ever play with me like that, Lebo. Tell him to get to a microphone immediately. Who's the great sponsors of this wonderful bracket contest? Nate said that Nate guarantees he'll win.
Have you ever heard of a little gentleman by the name of Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Mr. Davis, Dewey's Pizza, Truity Credit Union,
come here,
and Green Grass Cattle
Company.
This guy's
eating a banana. I've been told. I've been told.
Running for your life, you're shooting.
That you will never wear another pair of underwear that's not Mr. Davis.
It's super soft.
Is that
Who
right?
Who wants to feel my underwear?
Explain to Nate exactly what's going on in your pants right now.
Where do I get your...
Just tell him.
Oh, man, that's a very soft
t-shirt. What are you feeling over there?
I'm feeling...
tell us about Mr.
Underwear.
Davis.
It's a local company.
Never get excited
don't even,
about guys running around in their underwear.
Know that it's a local company.
Right.
Getting the word out. Mr. Davis.
Right.
R. Davis, MrDavis.com.
Now, do you...
You wrap your tender vegetation only in Mr. Davis.
Correct.
Online.
I'm wearing it out right now, and if you want to feel my underwear, I will...
Can you give me a pair of shorts from them?
Can I move this microphone this way?
Can you give me a double XL?
Feel my undershirt.
Lilo's getting awful.
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
You like that. Feel it.
How's that feel? That's good.
My God.
Do they hug
your
jewels?
Feels like silk, huh?
Yeah. Never get excited.
You feel
the
supported?
Some
guys running around in their underwear.
What about after a long day of reporting?
Still good.
Are you going down? What are you doing later on tonight?
I'm going to go down to the public library at the Plaza Branch. They're having that stadium kind of round.
You going to start a fight?
Probably.
These people yelling and screaming at each other.
I've got my Mr. Davis on to be comfortable all day.
You know what? Even when it gets hot, he will stay cool with Mr. Davis. But Mr. Davis is glad they got connected with us.
Online here. They look nice.
Why don't you tell us again?
MrDavis.com. MrDavis.com. That's
the
website there.
I'm going to do, obviously, the bracket challenge. You guys are all in.
Sure.
Yep.
Are you putting your name on it, Nate? Are
put
you
your
like
name on it.
Actual
sure.
name on
yeah,
it?
Yeah, real name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put your name on it.
Real name.
I think we should have a friendly wager on that,
I'll have
too.
A couple names in there.
Can we do a Border Patrol group?
Sure.
Like with us and all of our guests. Get Boerichter in there.
Yeah, give me a
get Dieter and Sherm. Get Boddicker. Get Bluma. You can send a text. Hey, just try to sign up so we can have all of us together.
Loser eats raw land scallop bull fries on air.
I've already confirmed that they're going to be delivered to the studio.
Yes.
I'm not eating testes.
Oh,
I'm
you
not eating
are.
Those.
Nope.
I'm going to eat them.
You go ahead.
I'll feed you.
Have it. Have at it, buddy.
Now, man, we're going to do this for the greater good.
I don't want to eat those.
There's no good enough.
Yeah, there's good.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll cheer you on.
They're bringing them for you.
Well, I haven't requested
from Weston. I requested
Nate,
on your behalf.
Nate acts like he's never eaten testes before.
Yeah. He starts giggling.
Oh, I swear I've never had these before.
Do you feel like you've smoothed things over with Cheese Kingdom now? Are you good?
I have my opinions. I also have my educated opinions on things.
About these
Not
people
that people are, aren't. I'm just saying that, like, I've been around
people?
Doing this for a long time. I know what I'm looking at.
What about the people attacking you during this segment?
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
People are entitled to their own opinions on things.
No matter how
even
stupid they are.
Do you think it's Jake and a bunch
of people? No, I don't.
My dad always said everyone's entitled to their own dumbass opinion.
Right.
Everybody's entitled to their own opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not against the signing.
But when you come back and visit us next week, will Legarius Sneed still be the chief?
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say technically no, because he will not have signed his thing, but I don't think I'll just say I don't know if a deal gets done. It's all contingent on what his contract demands are.
Okay. Who will he be playing for next year, the Chiefs or someone else?
I think he'll be playing for the Chiefs next year on a one-year franchise.
There it is.
And I'm perfectly fine with that.
And guess what? Three-peat. Repeat. I'm good with it.
Hey, can I say one thing real quick?
I wish you would.
Going to give a shout-out to my wife. Opening game of boys volleyball.
Oh, really?
For Lee Summit High School tonight at Belton. Sanctioned boys volleyball, sanctioned sport on the Missouri side for Misha this year.
How many schools are there that I saw?
Ooh, there's enough to make it a fully sanctioned sport. So I know they got three games this week, Belton, Rockhurst, and at home on Thursday.
Jake was a tremendous volleyball player.
Good luck to her.
Great.
Inaugural game tonight.
Do you wish there would have been, would you have played boys volleyball?
Depending on what season.
Had it been available to you? If you could have, would you have played? It was available to you.
It'd been like a spring sport?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have.
See? Well, good luck.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
Good luck to the
and igniting the
Tigers,
fires
right?
of Chiefs Kingdom.
Yeah, that's right.
Go Tigers.
Summer Tigers.
There it is. That's Mark Berichter. We'll be back after this on WHB.